Hi, welcome to Love Faith Talkers.
We are here to talk about the topics that matter to real-life Christians just like you. Topics like anxiety, fitness, loneliness in church, Christians in the workplace, depression, and even food.
We interview psychologists, preachers, businessmen and businesswomen, and people just like you.
We're here to help you find the hope, inspiration, and courage you need to live your life the way God intends.
As an empowered, thriving Christian.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Love Faith Tacos. Thank you for joining us once again. And hope you got a chance to go back and listen to last week's interview. If you haven't heard it yet, you're going to want to. We had a really neat immigration story with a very special guest, Regine Swim, who is my mother-in-law. And she's back with us today. And this time, as y'all know, we have passion for helping people who are dealing with church hurt and recovering from that. And everyone's story of that is a little bit different. I also want to remind you, we're going to be having more interviews about that coming up soon, too. But for example, my and Nikki's church hurt story and our recovery process only really applies to people who've been in our kind of situations, and you can learn from it. But by telling multiple stories of hurt and healing, then maybe you can learn something from someone else's or relate better to one of the many interviews. So in a couple of minutes, we're going to go into that. But before we do, we realized that we forgot last week to make a really huge announcement because Nikki sent me a message telling me about this huge milestone that the Love Faith Tacos podcast has hit. So, babe, tell us what it was.
We hit 1,000 plays.
That's right. We finally hit 1,000 downloads. And so by this point, we should be well going over that. Thank you, everyone, who has been supporting the Love Faith Tacos podcast and helping us to continue our mission of helping Christians everywhere with their regular everyday lives, with their hurts. And we're just so honored to have this part in your life. So thank you very much. All right. So we're going to once again get into this interview with our guest, who once more I'll be referring to as Mama, because she, as she explained last week, she immigrated from France. And she is now definitely an American, and we're really excited to get into it. How are you doing this evening?
Very good. Very well. Very good. Very well.
You can say it in French if that's easier.
Très bien, merci.
Bonsoir, very good. Thank actually. You.
You're welcome. I don't remember how to say you're welcome yet. I don't know if I got there on Duolingo.
De rien.
De rien. I knew that.
What you said, yes. Yeah. Not there yet. Working with the Duolingo. We should get Duolingo to sponsor this podcast, I'll tell you what. But anyway, yeah, so as mentioned before, we were learning last week about how important church was to helping you integrate into American society. It made your transition easier, especially as you were moving from being a military wife to now you're not getting the benefits that the military provides and you're just kind of plop on your own. Mm-hmm. And so you talked about that. And that's really the only church that you have been a member of since you were in America, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And so as far as your story of church hurt goes, we heard a lot from you about that support. What was the first sign to you that something had changed?
Being involved in the church, let's see, now we're talking about a different life here, because I met my husband of now in the church. We've been going to the same church, him for 40 years and me for a little bit more than 35.
That's definitely taking integration to a whole new level.
So very involved, both of us very involved in a church. We ended up having, along the years, 7 kids. So he had his, I had mine, we had ours, we adopted. We cover all the bases. So we had a large family, and every time the church doors were open, we were there.
On the second row.
Sorry. Yeah,
it's true. About that church hurt. Whose church hurt are we talking about here? Trauma.
We had our name on that row. Okay.
We took I'm the just whole saying, row. I had to walk down when I was like late in front of everybody all the way down to the second row.
I think we need to buy a plaque and put it there and call it the Swim Memorial Pew.
Yeah. So, we were very involved in everything. And which was good. The kids were always doing something with the church. We felt that God was really, God was the center of our life. So the family is not going, at this point, not going to church and then having our life. It was doing everything revolving around God. Over the years, the kids grew up, we started seeing some problems, especially around the teenage years. Support wasn't there when something was not going the right way. The kids would come to me and tell me, and as a mom, of course, you know, Mama Bear, you don't, what's going on? So I would talk to my husband, but my husband was a firm believer that the church knows, best. So we wanted, the kids were to fall in line with what the adult above them was saying. Did I agree with that? No, not all the time. To tell you the truth, I thought I was rebellious because of that, because I didn't agree with it.
Maybe you could provide some clarification then. You know, you mentioned that the teens were not receiving the support that you thought they should have. So what were you expecting and what did you get instead?
If something was not going, without going into details, but...
I think the family would appreciate that.
Yeah. They knew that there was a problem with either between teens or between a leader not, I don't want to say performing because it's not, but the teens were trying to ask for directions and it was... More than once, they were told, you know, you don't need. Just do what I tell you to do. So coming home, I would hear that, and what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed, you know? And so it's at that point that personally I started to see that the support that. When the kids are at school, and they were always at school,
yes,
and ministry and church, we were always on the church campus. Basically we were home to sleep and right. To eat.
That's true.
So if I'm understanding what you're saying correctly, it sounds to me like the kids were receiving some kind of corrective feedback about their performance of some kind or their... I don't know. I'm fine with the word performance in some instances, but maybe it's just more about not meeting up to what's expected. And they would ask for directions on how, and maybe ask why, and they would just be told, basically, shut up and do what I'm telling. Don't worry about the why. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know about the shut up, but it was basically what... being teens, they, of course, they didn't like that. because where's the love? I mean, which brings me to my next one. It's my next problem would be starting to come to church. Now we're talking about now the kids are older and coming into the church, trying to do some ministries, and I felt that I grew up with don't mind what other people think about you. You just do what you know you're supposed to do. But I could sense people that were judging. My family, we were not on staff, although Dad at one point was a ministry leader. But even today, I hear my kids telling me that during that time, they felt that too. They felt like they were expected to perform even to the level of being like a pastor's kids. And why? I don't know. Usually, I mean, they came back more than one saying, well, you should know better, you swim. Where does that come from? I mean, a kid is a kid, and it's not because you've been in a church for 30 years that, we all have problems. I mean...
Yeah, I think you said something really interesting there that is a really big issue in those kind of church situations, and that issue is that they were expected to perform up to the level of a preacher's kid. Mm-hmm. And really, why should the preacher's kid be any different from any other kid?
Right.
Well, you know, perform up to that level. How about everyone's just got the same level?
Mm-hmm. Or how about there is no same level? You just take people where they're at.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we're all individuals and we're all learning at different levels.
Right. You know? Which that's the point, is that there isn't mm-hmm. like one thing that everyone should be shooting for. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry about that. Continue.
Yeah. I realized that I was having difficulties putting the two and two together. And my husband was gone many times because of work. So I had to make decisions. I had to make, and I felt like, frankly, at some point, I felt like I was losing the kids because they would say that I'm not listening to them. They would say, so-and-so say that. You're not taking my defense. So I didn't know how to react because I really trusted my church. I really trusted the leadership. I really trusted when I put my kids on church campus, whether it's for ministry or for the school, I trust those people implicitly because I know them and because they're Christian and maybe that was my fault. I should not have put so much emphasis on trust. And that caused a lot of problems. To these days, I have some kids that they're starting to come back to church, but for a long time they didn't. Because of that, they saw the hypocrisy. Hypocrisy.
Yep.
Because why would someone say to them to act a certain way, and then they see that same person in leadership acting another way?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's interesting too what you just said about trust, that there was too much trust. I really think that's actually fueling a lot of the backlash that we've seen against churches in our society, because statistics are showing us that here in the year 2022, in the past 2 years, Americans are not believing in God less, but they're going to church less. mm-hmm. and they're rebelling against the system. And I think a lot of it is that people don't feel they can trust the other people anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's because at some point it was abused, wouldn't you say? Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Okay. So your teens were the, your teenage children were the initial pain point mm-hmm. that came up for you. And you mentioned that your husband was away and you had to make a lot of decisions. Now, as I understand it, in this particular situation, you were supposed to be directly submissive to your husband and he would make decisions, but he wasn't there to make decisions. Did you ever find that the church leadership or the school leadership responded more poorly to you than to him?
Mm. Well, that's a good point. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I really felt in many instances that what I would say, oh, yes, yes, we listen and we understand, and then nothing would be done until my husband would go and make a deal about it. So it was definitely, that's the second big point that I realized, even working in a school after that, I realized my word is nothing because I'm a woman. Mm. Mm. And I'm not saying, you know, you should listen because I'm a woman, but still I believe God has put women in charge of certain ministries or in different position in a church because of our, I believe we can be very close to God. I believe that the Holy Spirit, we have a special relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's my belief. And we are more sensitive. And for the men, I realized that the men would not take that in consideration. It's just a men's world.
Hmm. So it's really, I mean, almost like shooting the calendar back 60, 70 years, kind of seems like, to that portion of America that was just post-World War II, very much authoritarian. I would see that as being a serious trauma to have to overcome and not be listened to and have your husband say the exact same things. And now all of a sudden we're willing to listen. Mm. How did you find that your friends that you had in the church responded when you spoke with them about these situations? I assume you had people you went to for advice about this stuff, or did you not? Or did you find that you had trouble talking to people about this?
I usually don't gossip or tell the problems I have. I was told to keep our dirty laundry in family. That's it. Mm-hmm. So we don't share. But I started with close friends. I started sharing that, and they would have the same problem. Mm-hmm. So what do you do in that case? Well, guess what? We were told biblically to submit to our husband. So guess what? We submitted to our husband. And if her husband was saying, no, we're gonna listen to the leadership, then we listen to the leadership.
Hmm. I found over the years that, and again, I was raised in a similar environment, a very fundamental environment, an independent fundamental Baptist environment. And I don't know where the influence was different. My dad wasn't very authoritarian, and maybe that was why. Maybe it was the pagan shows I watched on TV. I don't know. We'll blame Star Trek or whatever if we want to. But I just view it that God, the Bible tells us that God gave women to help the men, And so I think I need to be listening to the person God gave me to help me. So when Nikki says something's wrong, I pay attention to it. I don't always act on it immediately, but I'm definitely watching at that point. And I think that that's probably key. And again, I think that one thing that at this point probably needs to be said is that I don't necessarily personally, and I'm not speaking for you when I say this either, I don't necessarily blame the men in these church situations who have been raised this way, because they were taught the same thing. Mm-hmm. And they really believe that. Mm-hmm. It's not that they ginned it up. That's what they were told by their pastors, who were told that by their pastors, and it's been reinforced by all these men over the years. Should they break some of this out? Yes, some of it should be broken out of. But I think it's easy for us to fall into the trap of, well, they should have, you know, they're inside it too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think too that it's not approached as like a team effort, like with the man and his wife, like husband and wife. And it's more like what you were talking about, how it's like, oh, the man is above the woman, which we know the Bible does like give order to the household or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the way that it's presented, having grown up in that, the way that it's presented is very, yeah, like this umbrella thing, as you gesture to an umbrella. That was actually pretty comical. But, you know, and then it's like, God, and then I can't remember the visual, but you would probably remember. Yeah, go ahead.
I think it was God, the pastor, the father, the mother, the children, right?
Wait, the pastor? No, yeah, I don't God, remember the pastor being
I guess it depends on which camp you were in.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. I think it's God, husband,
wife,
kids. And then pets. I guess
Pets. But hey, don't forget the pets.
But yeah, so like with that, you know, and I was at conferences where that was taught often at that church. Mm-hmm. You know, it is something that people learn, and they kind of, I'm not a man, so I can't like speak to that end, but sometimes it feels like men in certain circles like that, because they can be condescending or like not listen to women, right? And just be like, no, this is what, you know, this is what the Bible says, or this is what the pastor says, or whatever. And to some extent, it's like an excuse for them to continue doing what they want to do and not listen to what their, I don't know if that makes sense, but what their wives are saying.
Mm-hmm. As a man, I can speak to this point.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're a man.
I'm glad too in this instance. You know, I can tell you that it varies from man to man. There are some men who view that with dread, and their reactions are almost fear-based because they don't want to mess up. There are men that rise to it as like, hey, this is what men do. We're responsible. We care for the household. And so I'm gonna step into the role that God gave me the best I know how. And I think that, and then there's a whole gamut between that. But I think part of what happens is the cultural teaching that, again, this is not a biblical teaching. It is the cultural teaching that God gave women to men so that men could help corral their silly, rebellious ideas. Because Eve was the one who found the fruit. Yeah, well, Adam is the one who intentionally ate it. Mm-hmm. He wasn't deceived by the serpent. He knew what he was doing. And this whole idea that women are just have rebellion as part of their DNA is not within the Bible. But it gets woven into the fabric of that relationship, and it perverts what God created. Does the Bible say that the man is the head of the wife? Yes, it does. But it also very specifically says that they're not supposed to exercise authority over them. Mm-hmm. And if you want to know what that means, think about the centurion who came to Jesus to have his servant healed. And what did the Bible say? He said, I'm not worthy to have you come into my house because I am a man under authority, and I have authority over other people. In other words, I say this and it happens. We're not supposed to do that as men, and yet that's how it's taught. Mm-hmm. Pastor says this, do it. Husband says it, do it.
Or parent says it, kids, do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No questions asked.
You know? Right. It's always exactly authoritarian, which is what Jesus literally said not to do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I can definitely see that being a huge pain point there. So we've got the pain point with the children that you dealt with. And then you have how this morphed into you're trying to help your children, the mama bear. And I would just like to say before I married Nikki and you found out we were engaged. You threatened me and I was terrified. Y'all, I'm telling you right now, it doesn't matter that she's multiple inches shorter than me. She's a scary woman when she's angry.
What did she say to you?
She said, if you ever hurt her, I will find you and I will kill you. And I said, I believe you. And I wasn't being sarcastic. So, you know, you're trying to do that. You're trying to help your kids and you find you can't. And your husband's doing, honestly, what I believe he believes is the best that he can do
right.
in the situation he's in. So where does that leave you now?
In a bad situation. Because, again, like I said before, I want to help the children, but I don't want to be rebellious. And the children at this age are just... rebelling and I see that I'm starting to, because you're supposed to, the church, the service is not doing. It's, you're supposed to have the heart to do. It's the same thing when you serving, I mean, in a church with God, is not, and the Bible tells you that too, it's not solely the doing, it's the being, it's the wanting to please. So, goodness, he took me, 25 years to learn that. My husband and I finally just realized that it's not because you can do thinking that you are pleasing God, but by being too busy, then you're losing the fact that you want to serve God. I don't know if I explained that correctly. I mean, you're doing too much. Versus, who are you doing it for? For God. But God wants your heart. He doesn't want just the doing.
I was going to say, it's like not having a relationship, but... Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, well, doing the things.
Right. What I was going to say is doing becomes the goal instead of being God's child.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
is a very interesting perspective, which in that case... If you think about it, service has become an idol.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's mm-hmm. no wonder that we as Christians wear ourselves out yep. and take mm-hmm. no rest days.
Mm-hmm.
That's so interesting right there. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Nikki, you can correct me on that, but our family, we were doers.
Yep.
And we thought that's what we were supposed to do, because that's how you build the church. That's how you build your ministry. That's how, and you know, he comes with a price.
Yeah, I'm still learning how to like not do stuff.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Well, just remember, because... swim is an action verb, and church is a noun.
Ah. One is a state. Very good. Being,
yeah. Oh.
Very good. But it's a truth. I had to, once the kids started going, because, you know, leaving the house and getting married and all this. And as you know, without any details, but Dad starting to realize that certain things were not going the right way with the church, he decided to stop coming. And when I asked him after a while, and I was still going, but I was going because of my ministries at that point. Because I love my ministries, number one, and number two, I knew God put me there. So because God put me there, I was not looking at it from horizontally. I was looking at it vertically.
Yeah.
And But then Dad gave me a good, during that time that he was not going to church, he fixed his relationship with God in a way that was very deep. He did more being than doing, because he was not at the church anymore, so he was not doing anymore. So he switched, and reading his Bible and praying and just meditating and talking to God, and he got at that point. I've seen Dad getting much closer and having a better relationship, and I was still in a church, and I thought my relationship was good too, but I was still doing, and I started losing my love, because I could see that, yeah, okay, I'm trying my best, but there's something missing. And yeah.
So, and at this time, would you say that you still had a relationship with God? Like, you were reading your Bible, praying, mm-hmm. like, doing all those kind of things to, like, continue building your relationship with mm-hmm. God.
Yeah.
But you still felt like there was something missing.
Something missing. And something big missing. Because I was not at peace. I would go and do my ministries and go to church. And I felt like, Dad and I used to joke about this, but I felt like a Catholic. I would go do my duties and go to work and go to my duties and go to work. There was no I had a better relationship when I was in my car listening to some music, Christian music, and I would be filled. I would sing in the car, and I even told Dad, I said, is this normal? I mean, I get more in listening to Christian music than getting from the church. And then when you hear from the pulpit that if you don't get anything from the preaching, it's your fault. You're not in the right mind. You're not. You need to be in the right. And I'm thinking it's my fault. So I was putting a lot of guilt on myself, and to the point that it was overwhelming.
I mean, to say this as a preacher myself, if you've ever felt that, and you've been told that, what you've been told is wrong. Yeah, obviously, to some extent, it is your responsibility to make sure that your heart is aligned with the Lord and you're doing the right thing. But if you're not, if you're going to church and constantly never getting anything from the preaching, it might not really be you. I mean, there's a lot of instances. It could be you. It could be the preacher. It could be a combination of those things. It could also be your relationship with the preacher. It is hard to get something from a preacher when your trust has been broken, when the relationship is not where it should be. And you are not the first person. I remember this one particular sermon back in the day called Duty. And no, I'm not talking about the cleaning up the dog's duty. I mean, like, doing your duty to God. And the whole point of this sermon was just, you don't feel like serving God anymore. You don't have the joy of the Lord anymore. Well, serve on, and God will eventually bring the joy on back. Well, you were doing that. Did the joy come back?
No. No, and I was told when I went to talk to some leaders, and I asked, what am I supposed to do? Because I was told, don't stop coming to church, just sit and listen, and he'll come back. He'll come back. So that's what I did. And maybe I was trying too hard, but I was listening and trying. Okay, here I am. So reading my Bible, praying, One thing I learned from one of the leaders years ago was praying without ceasing. That helped me a lot. Because praying without ceasing, I always wondered, well, how can you do that all day? I mean, I'm working. And then, but she explained, she came out with this too, because she studied it. And she said, you know, praying without ceasing doesn't mean you stop and get on your knees or pray. You speak to God. You pray all day long for everything. You praise Him. And that has opened a brand new, and I went, oh wow, why I do that? I always talk to God, like God is right there with me. And I have a conversation with him. Does he answer? Yeah, he does answer. So that made me feel so much better. But still, sitting in the pew and listening to, you should do this. And if you don't do this, then this is not going to happen. Obviously, I felt more and more over the past years, more and more like oppression.
So you say that you did this for quite some time. About how many years would you say, like, across that time period was it?
To listen and not getting
in. Just being in that environment where you were told, oh, just keep coming, just keep listening, you know?
Like, I would say close to 10 years.
That's a really long time to be in an environment like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, like, just have it kind of weigh on you.
Yeah. And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. It sounds to me like you're saying that one of the main issues that you were dealing with was pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You felt pressured to do things or not do things. Would that be an accurate statement?
Yeah. And it came to the point even... until recently, I would say maybe a year. It was around COVID. That even, I told Dad, I said, even I passed the doors of a church and I felt the oppression. And again, I'm you know, the good Catholic I am. I'm just,
You were, yes.
Not Catholic anymore.
I'm thinking it's me. I don't have a right attitude. I would sit in my pew and I would ask God, please give me something. I want to hear you.
I think it's so interesting how we frequently look inward, right? Which is good to do. I'm not saying like don't investigate what's going on in your personal life, but I also think it's interesting that with, you know, we come across these different church trauma situations and we've been there too. And it's like, the pattern that I notice is that we always tend to think it's us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, I just think it's interesting because you were basically being told, you're rubbing off on me. I will eventually get a French accent if you just keep on talking. It'll just take me a while. I basically, you know, you're in this situation where you're being told, okay, if you're not getting anything from God, it's you. It's you. It's your problem. It's your problem. You were literally thinking the whole time, it's me. It's me. It's my problem. And so if on the one hand you got someone saying it's your problem, and then on the other hand you're saying it's me, it's my problem, and you're praying and asking God, and God's not changing anything in your life, wouldn't you say at that point it's a good indicator that it isn't you?
Like maybe it's something else.
Yeah. Because, you know, that's not something that we naturally think of because, no, it has to. This is what I'm being told.
Mm-hmm.
So it must be. But it clearly wasn't you.
But I think that, too, when you consider that kind of culture, or at least in that specific environment, it's you follow everything the leader says. You know what I mean? Like, it's very heavily based on, like, do and follow what the leader says. So if a leader is telling you you're not right with God or you need to just come and sit and listen or whatever, because you have been conditioned to do that for that many years, like you were in that church for, I don't even know how long before this stuff happened. Before you started feeling like that, like 20 years, maybe
I was 25.
Yeah. So naturally you're going to follow what they say, you know, because that's what you've been taught.
Yeah.
And you're not taught, and here's the thing too, you're not taught to investigate or to like we you were saying, like think about like the variables or anything like that. You're not taught that. So you don't have those skills to kind of problem solve and think outside the box. You're going literally off of do what they say. That's what they're telling me. So, oh, it's me, you know, like
it's, right. So. And once again, like you said earlier, Nikki, about how every single person should be taken where they are and grown where they are. That was our philosophy when we had Onward and Upward, is we told people we do not have an end goal in mind for what you're supposed to look like. And we watched everyone in that class grow, but they didn't all grow into the same thing. They grew into unique things that were all very special, I believe, in God's kingdom and God's service. And but the problem is if that is not being actively taught, you were pushing toward this idealized mark, which was this person who three to thrived. And really, if you're only three to thriving, you're kind of backslidden.
I was gonna say, we're like five to five.
I was gonna say, it's every single time the doors are open, and that includes school and everything. Yeah. And so you really should be at church 7 days a week, maybe in instances like this. And so you're supposed to always be there, and you're supposed to just have this boundless supply of energy. You never need to rest, and you're just happy about it the whole time, and no matter what. And that's the problem, is you're shooting for something that is unattainable. Mm-hmm. You are shooting for Superman status, super Christian, which doesn't exist. So that's a big thing. So, all right, well, let me ask you this. And again, I just want to remind you, you can go into more detail if you like. Again, we want to remind the listeners that we keep names out of this intentionally, because we keep names out of it in case people get the chance to heal themselves. You say, well, this person hurt me. We want that person to heal too. And so if they go to make progress, we don't want the rest of you running into them. And if they've made changes, you know, all of a sudden, well, you know what you did to Regine Swim way back in the day, you know, that's the reason we leave names out of it. But if you want to go into more detail, you can, you do not have to. What events transpired that made you personally actually start to think and consider for the first time, maybe it's not me and maybe I need to go someplace else?
Well, actually, you have a big part in it.
Who, me?
You.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, because I used to go to Sunday school to learn to be a Christian, a better Christian. And then after a while, I stopped. I didn't go to Sunday school anymore. I was just going to the church and doing my ministry. And when you started your Sunday school, you guys invited me. I didn't want to go, if you remember that.
I do. And it was like, come on, you can sit with me.
Yep.
In the back.
Yep.
Not the second row. Not the second row.
So I started coming, and I found out that I was getting more in your Sunday school than I was getting at the church. I knew what you were talking about. I knew, because I know my Bible. After 35 years reading my Bible regularly, I'm not saying I know everything in the Bible, because I don't. But I know enough that when you were teaching, I knew what you were saying, but you were bringing it in a different view, with a different angle that made me, oh, wow, I've never seen that. And that started to attract me again, because he put some life into me. So I started going to Sunday school until you left. So it's all your fault. until you left, and I didn't. A lot of things happened during that time. I mean, COVID, the church closed. Then we reopened with online, and it was not organized. It was not, oh my goodness, it was nightmare. So I went more into my Bible reading. I went, and then finally we started getting a little bit more organized with the online thing, and I would listen. And by that time, though, our leadership went missing.
Now, what do you mean by the leadership went missing?
They went to the rapture happened.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, no, we're still here.
Now we're still here.
Selective rapture. I wish we'd all been ready. Yeah. Are you referring to... you don't remember that song?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, my soul. Oh, my. Wow, that was traumatic.
Do you know that? Something about...
Of course not. I went to a new evangelical school, so I was around for that song, and it was about the rapture. Man, I can't tell you the trauma of being afraid you were going to miss the rapture. Oh, my soul. Stress. Anyway, no, I think... Are you referring to the pastor's health deteriorating? Is that what you're talking about? Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, didn't have a pastor, and we started having different people preaching, and I was listening, but I was thinking, I even told Dad, I said, oh, what's going on? I mean, there is the only thing that would come through the screen at that point was diluted preaching. I mean, it's nothing. It was just for baby Christians. And I'm okay with, you know, we all at different levels. I'm okay with baby Christian, and then, but give us some meat too. And I was, for so many years, Sunday morning, it was a ritual. Sunday morning, it's salvation. Sunday night is heavier, and Thursday, well, we had church on Thursday, Wednesday or Thursday night is heavy. It's for
in depth.
Yeah.
More of like a Bible study.
Yes. So there was nothing like this. And I started losing my attention, went just somewhere else. But again, you know, I would sit and I would listen, because this is my church, and God is supposed to speak to me through my church. But every time it became worse and worse, and it was just, I started become, oh, well, other things started to happen. By that time, the church opened the doors, I would go back to the ministries, and then listen, sitting in the pew again, and listen, and always wondering, okay, so what's up today? And don't go to me, going to church is because I want to hear more from God. I want to hear from my God, some directions.
All right, we're going to go ahead and pause right there, because there was a lot of really useful information that we got during that time. And even going back and listening to it and editing, it's been really powerful for me to hear this and to learn from Regine, and the things that I as a leader and a preacher can take from this, from myself as one who is healing. And the best part is, it's not over yet. We will have part two next week, and you are definitely going to want to come back and hear that, because if you thought what you heard this week was powerful, she really gets into some really powerful territory next week. And we also swing into the portion about her healing, which again is the whole point. We don't want to just have a platform for people to come and vent. We don't want to have a platform that promotes bitterness. We do not want to have a platform that Satan can use. We want this to be a ministry of healing that God can use in your life and the lives of your friends. So if Love Faith Tacos has in any way been a blessing to you, then please, could you share the podcast this week? Go on to whichever app you use to share it and tell a friend, say, hey, I listen to Love Faith Tacos and it blessed me, and I think maybe it could be a blessing to you too. This is a podcast about Christian talk, and they talk about all ranges of topics. And you know, for me, I just really was helped by, and you fill in the blank about what helped you. Because again, this is literally about being Christ's agent of healing to his people. If you think you have a story that you think we should hear, then give us some contact info. We are available at lovefaithtacos@gmail.com. That's lovefaithtacos@gmail.com. Or you can contact us on our Facebook page. Again, Love Faith Tacos has a Facebook page where we like to interact with the community a little bit. Contact us either way and tell us your story. Maybe you don't want to come in the air, but maybe you'd like some help. Hey, we're here for that. That's part of what we are doing. Nikki and I feel called to help people who have been hurt, to heal, and to experience Christ in that very, very special way. So again, that's lovefaithtacos@gmail.com. Make sure you come back next week. I promise it will actually be next week this time. Again, thank you for your patience with my crazy school schedule, but come back next week so you can hear the second half of Regine's interview. You will not want to miss it. See you next time.
Thank you for joining us on Love Faith Tacos. We hope this has been a blessing to you. If it was, we ask that you do three things.
Number one, please subscribe so that you never miss an episode.
Number two, please leave us a 5-star rating and write a review if you can.
And number three, please tell a friend, because hope is just too important not to share.